I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Emma. Emma is a mom of one from Atlanta, USA. She had a 31-hour natural and empowering labor and ended up birthing at a birth center with her partner, mother, midwives, and a doula by her side. Emma feels like her support system was amazing and that her doula was vital in helping facilitate her positive experience. In this episode, we talk about coping mechanisms in labor, vaginal examinations and anterior lips, laboring in water, and so much more. Curious about Emma? Find her on Instagram as emmalong.com. Hi, Emma, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Beautiful. Well, today we're going to talk about your natural birth story. I know that you are from Atlanta and that you chose to birth at a birth center with midwives. And I always find that really beautiful when I hear mamas from the US taking that route, as it's quite common with going with the obstetrician. And being a midwife myself, you know, I'm all for midwives. So I'm always fascinated about knowing what kind of made you even know about that option, what made you want to choose midwives. Tell us a little bit about the background around that before we dive on into your actual birth story.
So I knew, first of all, I always wanted kids, and I knew before I got pregnant that I would try to do it naturally with, you know, little interference. So that was always kind of in my personality and my character. I, you know, that was a little bit thought of before. And then when I did get pregnant, it wasn't necessarily planned. So we were in the mix of just preparing and getting myself cared for. And then I just looked up, you know, the birth centers in Atlanta, which there's only one. So I had to, you know, there's not a lot of options there. Hopefully in the future, Atlanta will have more birth centers, because that birth center is doing great. And they provided amazing care. So I just started to research that birth center and also research the differences between having a hospital birth versus a birth center, and just started educating myself on that. to begin with. And then I was lucky enough to make it in to the birth center while I did. So usually you start pretty early. And I made it in around 24 weeks. I was confirmed as, you know, being cared for there. So I was pretty lucky, I think. And, you know, I just looked it up, did my research and, you know, started there.
Beautiful. Did you know any other person who'd gone through that birth center, or did you have friends who'd birth naturally, or your mom, or how did you kind of, what made you even look for it?
Yeah. So when I found out I was pregnant, my partner were just excited and telling people, and my neighbor is actually a doula and she was my doula. So she started offering her services to me as soon as she found out that I was pregnant, because, you know, she's just, she loves to do that. She loves to be there for women like that. And she's actually from California. So she had moved here very recently and she had not had a client yet in Atlanta. She had not had somebody, you know, to support in Atlanta. And so she had gotten her doula certification in California, and she kind of also definitely got me on track for, you know, hey, this is, you know, if I told her I want to have a natural birth, and she was like, that's awesome. And she encouraged me and helped me with that decision as well. So
beautiful. It's all these synchronicities, aren't they?
Yeah. You know,
that come into our lives, especially when we are open for it. It just kind of pops in, doesn't it? All these different opportunities or people or circumstances. We pass something and we see that note, you know, on the side of the road, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, yeah, life is magical like that. Beautiful. Okay. Well, with no further ado, I'd love to hear about your actual birth story. So do you want to share with us the early signs of labor approaching for you? Do you remember?
Yes. So I had started to feel like mild, very, very mild, like I would maybe call them Braxton Hicks. So I went into labor on a Wednesday night, but I had been feeling them. I feel like Monday through Tuesday, I was feeling, okay, you know, that might've been a contraction. That kind of hurt, you know, that was a little bit of cramping sensation. So, but I didn't like lose my mucus plug or have a bloody show at all until I was in labor. So, but as soon as the contractions started pretty consistently Wednesday night, I was like, okay, here we go. Because I had been feeling them like Tuesday night for like they on like, you know, 5-7 minutes apart, very mild. But I was like, okay, we might be starting. And I was 41 weeks exactly when I went into labor. So I was definitely ready and looking for the signs, because at that point you're just at a birth center, you can't give birth after 42 weeks. So I was also like, let's go. Like, I don't want to have to be hospitalized. So that was really good. You know, they started when they did, which was on a Wednesday night. And then she was born Friday morning. So,
okay, beautiful. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? This silly time limit. I just wish we could get away from that. It's just so frustrating to me. How obviously it's so different depending if you're in a hospital, if you're with an obstetrician, then usually there's a lot of more pressure kind of with the time. But also if you go in the birth center, they usually have, 42 weeks. And it's really only with independent midwives who really only answer to themselves and evidence-based practices that that you kind of don't have that same pressure of time. Of course, there's some that will also abide by the 42 kind of mark, and you know, then you'll have to maybe go to the hospital if you're in with a midwife who have that in her, you know, how she provides her care. But yeah, this really does frustrate me. Every time I speak to somebody when they mention this, you know, and I went over time, or I started, you know, the time was cutting short, and
it's very unneeded stress,
yes,
for the mom. Oh. And like the numbers, you get stuck on the numbers, like, and I found that, you know, I also, you know, knew that it would only be serious if maybe there is meconium in the water, you know? And, but yeah, I was very frustrated about the time limit. That stressed me out towards the end. And I was like, this is stupid. Like,
such unnecessary stress. And stress, as we know, is one of the things that can prolong your pregnancy, that can hinder that birth from starting, actually feeling stressed. And then, you know, the way society works today, the way maternity care, we stress women. it's just, yes. Oh my goodness. This just definitely stresses me out. Makes me frustrated.
So, I was lucky again. I was fortunate again to have started when I did, I think. Everything lined up, like you were talking about earlier, the coincidences and stuff. So beautiful. I was very lucky.
So you went for like 2 days of niggling, of feeling crampy, especially Tuesday night, you said, and then maybe you knew kind of Wednesday that something was happening, but it didn't really start until Wednesday night. Is that correct?
Yeah. Wednesday throughout the day was still like, I would feel something throughout the day and then it'd be gone for 3 or 4 hours. And then at 2 o'clock on Wednesday night, they started to come consistently, starting between 5 and 7 minutes apart, and then sometimes 3 or 4 minutes apart. So I was like, all right, this is definitely happening now. And I didn't want to notify too many people. Like, I had my birth team, which was Matthew, my partner, my doula, and my mom. And so I didn't tell Matthew knew, of course, but I said, you should just go to sleep. Well, you know, I work through this so that you're rested for whatever might happen. And so he went to sleep Wednesday night and I just bounced on the ball pretty much the whole night and watched TV. And I was really excited. And I don't think I could have slept through those anyways. So, and then in the morning I called my doula and my mom and they were like, all right, it's go time. And then, the labor was pretty consistent for the first, you know, it was a 31-hour labor. So then Thursday during the day, everybody was at my house. I was, they were still coming, you know, in between like 4 to 7 minutes apart. I was, I felt like I did the most work, like on the birth ball. The birth ball really helped me. And I had been reading a book that my doula gave me called Active Labor. Mm. So yeah, I forget the author's name, but I'm sure.
I forgot the author's name too now, but I know the book. I've had the book. I've given away the book. I've gotten it again. I've given it away. Yeah. it's an oldie, but a goodie for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was very active and I was constantly moving. And then my doula, Thursday around like 2 o'clock, she was like, you know, you can rest. You can take a nap if you need to, if you're able to. This, you're not going to slow your progress down at this point. And I was like, okay. And so I did get a little bit of sleep Thursday. And, you know, she, you know, brought me some food. And at one point she had to really like, this is why I wasn't on the fence about having a doula. I just wasn't sure how it was going to work out. Like she worked a full-time job and has a three-year-old. And so I just wasn't sure how it was going to play out, but thank God I had her because she educated me on what mostly like doulas are really good about managing births early on in labor. Yes. And they're good about kind of like facilitating the environment, which she did. Cause at one point my sisters were over, which was fine, but I was getting distracted and like contractions kind of slowing down. And she was like, all right, everybody just clear the room and let me and Emma kind of work together. Mm. And then we got on a better pattern after that. So she was very vital to, you know, I feel like the environment and the laboring process. And she also taught me how to move my hips in a certain way to maybe rotate the baby. And she was able to feel, I don't know why, but I think the baby's better to be on the right side than the left side. So I don't know why they say that, but she could feel where the baby was. And she was, you know, we got the baby to the right side, which apparently is better for the birth experience or, you know, the baby coming out. I'm not sure, but she was able to help me like find good positions to, like one was where I had my leg up, just like on like a stool or something. And I was just like rotating my hips around with the contractions. So,
Well, it sounds like they really assisted you. And a big shout out to doulas, because especially, as you say, especially in the early phase of labor, which for some, you know, especially first time moms, it can be a longer process. And it's so important to feel safe and held during those hours as well. But it might not be time, for example, to go to hospital or go to the birth center. And, you know, we really do recommend to stay at home as long as possible if you are going to leave your home at all. Obviously, if you have a home birth, you don't have to. But even so, it can be so great to have that extra support, especially as a first-time parent. You know, your partner might not just, you know, even though he can be amazing, I mean, that's not his expertise. He hasn't done a doula training or, you know, have all of those skills that someone can do for you.
That was another way that she really helped me, was like to know when to go. Cause like they were definitely strong. And like, I was like, okay, it's getting close. Maybe we should go to the birth center. I had called them a few times, but getting in the car and actually leaving the house is a whole nother thing. And it's good to have a doula there to kind of understand like when it's time. When it's necessary. So, and then we ended up leaving the house around 10 o'clock. So I labored for 24 hours at home, which was great.
Mm.
And I was kind of like scared to make noise during my labor. I feel like a lot of women are kind of scared about that. Like, I don't want to make noise, or what is it going to sound like? But I was definitely very vocal and it was helpful. I think so. And I had a great environment also. Like, my house is pretty big, so I was able to move from room to room where I needed to move. And I had everything, obviously, like the house was really clean. And so I think, you know, setting up that space is really important. Like my doula also said, you know, set up your spaces, you know, your station here, your station there, make sure the bathtub really clean and like ready for a bath if you want to get in the bathtub, which I did. I took a bath Thursday, which was really nice. So
it's really beautiful to have different birth stations to move around and for that to already kind of be set up for you as well. Sounds beautiful. Sounds like you had a really good kind of support system around you.
I did, and I can't imagine some women doing it like away from their family or their mother, or, you know, kind of alone, which many women do. But I was, you know, very fortunate, like I said. I keep saying that, but I was to have my support system so strong, and so many strong people around me who knew, you know, they were strong for me. So that was really important. So we left around 10 o'clock Thursday night to the birth center. And that was a really intense car ride because I was still like pretty much like yelling through contractions. And got to the birth center, and there was nobody else birthing there at the time. So that was also really nice. So you had the full attention of the midwives, and they have three rooms. So they never said, like, I asked them, like, well, you know, early on in my, you know, education there at the birth center, like, what happens if all the rooms are filled? And they're like, that never really happens. So they can only take births a month. So, but I was lucky to be the only person there. It's nice to just like, everything's kind of quiet and you can just go in, choose your room. And so I got there and they checked me, and I was 5 centimeters dilated, 90% effaced. So that was really great. They usually admit 6 centimeters, but since no one was there and I was in pretty active labor, they were like, you know, you can either go home or you can stay. You have that option. So we were like, oh, we're staying, we're doing this.
And it's so, you know, when it comes to vaginal examinations, and there's been studies on these, I just think this is so interesting. I'm, you know, as a midwife, I know there are sometimes great, you know, reasons why you would want to do an internal examination. But I also feel very much that it's overused, and you know, it's very, you know, it's just very rare thing, you know, reasons why we would definitely want to maybe check for, you know, for different reasons, but not as a routine as it's, you know, done today, especially in the hospital system. And, you know, somebody, and this, as again, this has been studied and proven that it's so not accurate, kind of the same. If different practitioners would do the internal, somebody would say maybe, oh no, she's three, or someone say, oh no, she's five, oh no, she's six. It's because we're all humans, and and you know, it's, we're all different, and our perceptions are different. And so you know, in labor, if you're listening to this, you know, a woman listening to this, our podcast episode at the moment, if somebody's doing an internal examination, make sure that it's going to be the same person throughout your labor and birth, because then it would be more accurate in the sense of knowing kind of, you know, where you're at and how that might or might not have kind of changed when they look again. But if different practitioners are doing it, it can be really confusing and inaccurate and actually not help the situation at all.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I was happy that they never even asked me, you know, on my routine checkups. They never, sorry about, I don't know if you can hear the noise, but they never asked me at routine checkups, would you like to be checked, you know, at my 39 week, my, you know, they didn't do it, because like they know that, like, that's not necessary if, unless you're, and they asked me, I could have said no when I was there. Could have said, they were so, that's what I really loved about those midwives too, is they were just so, like, the way they worded everything's like, would you like an examination? And then when they did, you know, they're like, here's my finger, my finger's on your thigh. And they're just very, like, it wasn't just like, all right, we're going to check. It was like very respectful and kind and slow.
How it should be. Yeah, good. Yeah. Because that's how it should be. It should be respectful and it should be very, you know, anything else is as, not okay. So I love that. That sounds beautiful. It sounds like you had a beautiful team. I just really wanted to talk about that for any mama listening who might not have that experience, that yes, you know, you definitely, you can always decline as always. And ask, you know, is it necessary, for what reason, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Right. I was so, at that point I was so like ready. 24 hours in, you're tired already. Mm. You're already tired. You're, you know, maybe it's a first time mom. I'm sure if I have had another baby, I would be a little bit, I was never super stressed out or, you know, anxious throughout the labor, but I know next time it would be, it's going to be even smoother since I know, but I was also very, I was eager to find out where I was. So,
yes.
So we got admitted, and I got right in the shower and labored in the shower for quite a while. And then, they were waiting on my water to break. So when they did check me, she was like, all right, I can feel your water. Your water is right there. And I was also constantly like, like I wanted to see and feel. And so I checked my water too. I was like, oh, I can feel the bag. And it was really interesting and cool. And so I think it was about like 2 a.m. when my water actually broke on the toilet. I was sitting on the toilet. And then, one of the midwives had heard that my water had broken, and she came in and asked if I wanted to be checked again. And I was like, yeah, I do. Let's. And it was, she said I was around 8 or 9 centimeters at that point. They're like, okay, we're going to start filling up the tub if you want to birth in the tub. And, that was really great. And then when I got into the tub, I was so relaxed, and my legs were like, hurting because I had been constantly moving, and like water just like really relaxed me. And I was in there for about 1.5 hours, I think, and to the point where I was like almost falling asleep in between contractions.
Beautiful.
And it was beautiful, and it was very necessary, I think, for my body to just take a moment. But the sessions really slowed down. They didn't slow down like necessarily in length, like they were still about the same amount of time apart from one another, but they weren't as strong anymore. And no matter what I did in the water, it was pretty obvious that it was not going to happen in the water. because I needed, and I've heard this a lot. I knew this before, is that like the water can slow it down. And if you want to have a water birth, it's best to get in the water like right at the end, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe some women have a beautiful, you know, transition into actual delivery. For me, I needed the gravity, and I started to push soon after my water broke, and it wasn't something that I could stop really. My body just started doing it. Mm. And the midwives were a little bit concerned because I was pushing, and they were like, you're not fully dilated yet. So they were like, it could, I wasn't sure either. It could, they were like, they were worried it could inflame the cervix and then slow labor down. And so, but you know, in the back of my head, I was also like, well, I'm going to push because my body's pushing. So, to try not to like try not to push very actively at that moment. That's what they were.
I really want to speak to that, because I love that you talk about this, because I love that I have this opportunity to share about this, that this whole idea about not pushing until somebody puts their fingers up and checks that you're fully is not evidence-based. It comes from the whole thing about a swollen cervix, that you're, you know, you're pushing on a cervix that's not open. Is actually more from what they've noticed on women lying on their backs with an epidural and pushing in that way, where you, because you've been moving around, you know, this naturally, you know, when the cervix opens, it's not just like totally round and opening perfectly. It's like, depending on the head of the baby, how it's applied, and how you're sitting or moving or standing or lying. And so this whole idea that, you know, with the swollen cervix is actually what they've seen from women lying on their backs with epidurals. And so it's not something that has been, you know, very, you know, this is happening with women who are active in labor, they're birthing naturally, because you will naturally feel how you need to move your body, how you need to position yourself. You, like a woman will instinctively just move in the way she needs to. And when she has an urge to push, when she's naturally birthing, and also her baby's not OP, so that's posterior, right? So her baby's back towards your back, that's a bit different. Then the baby can start pushing on a nerve that makes you want to push really early. However, in saying that, pushing early then might actually move baby in the right position. So again, maybe we should just trust nature. Like, why would a woman get an urge to push if it's not right for her to do so? That is truly something I really want everyone to listen to, you know, in this again, like, why would a woman get the urge to push if it's not something that she's meant to do and that will help her labor progress? So I'm, you know, when it comes to this, you know, you're not fully, your cervix might be getting swollen. I really encourage, if midwives are listening to this, if doulas are listening to this, if mamas are listening to this, you know, trust your body. If you are birthing naturally, if you're following the physiology of birth, then follow it.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
my gut knew that like this was okay. So I wasn't really fighting it. I was allowing myself to push. I was also realizing that I needed to get out of the water, because instinctively as well, I knew that it was going to be better if I could get into a few different positions where I felt like I was making a lot of progress outside of the water. So I got out of the water, and I was trying a few different positions, but it was working up to where I had been pushing for about 3 hours. So I was getting nervous, because I was prolonged pushing is one of the reasons for a transfer. And so I had to check up with the midwives. I was getting really tired, and I was getting a little anxious about this happening. And I looked at the midwives and I was like, am I in danger here? Like, are we okay? And they were like, we're not on a timeline. Like, you're fine. Yeah.
And when you say that you'd been pushing for 3 hours, do you mean that you first had that urge to push when your water broke, and then you were in the water kind of chilling and it slowed down, so you weren't really actively pushing at that point? Because it doesn't sound to me that that's really actively pushing, right? So you had a bit of that urge, but then it sounds like you had that kind of transition phase where you were relaxing and then you got out. So when you got out, how long time from that point did you start pushing?
Well, the contractions were not, like, I couldn't feel them as much. I felt like I was doing it on my own, like pushing on my own. And I was like, I was starting to get stressed out about that too, because I couldn't feel like the real contractions anymore. And that's when, that is when the midwife in the corner, who was just watching and, you know, there for us, she was like, we should try the sideline release stretch. And so we did. The baby was out 20 minutes later. So that was really, contractions coming back. It was really hard for me to stay in that position. Mm-hmm. Like, while I was having really intense contractions and I could feel the baby like coming out more, I was like, well, this is really good. This is getting me back on track. Mm-hmm. And so we did sideline release stretch on both sides. I think they tried to do it through like 8 contractions on each side. I'm not sure how many, but that was like the perfect thing for me to do at that moment.
And wow, I think that's really a lot. Like, yeah, it's a lot. I love it though. Like, so anyone listening now, sideline release, you can find out more at spinningbabies.com. It's just, they have all these different beautiful positions that can help with different situations when you have a prolonged labor or a breech baby or an OP baby and all these things. So check out the spinningbabies.com for more information about that. But it's hard. I've tried doing the sideline release with some women in labor, and it's can be really excruciating, but it's really effective. Yeah.
It was really hard, but it was so afterwards. So we did it on my left side first, and then we switched to my right side. So my head was on the end of the bed. And I don't think we even got through the full amount of like stretches, contractions through stretches, like on my right side, the baby was already like coming out. So, yeah. And I was like, so, my doula and my mom were in the corner sitting down. They were so tired towards the end, like, but my partner, Matthew, was by my side the entire time. And, when the baby started coming out, he was like, oh, what's happening? Like, and they kept telling me, like, your baby, like she had been crowning the whole time, coming in and out, in and out. And I was getting so frustrated because she kept going back inside. But when she finally crowned and her head stayed there, I didn't believe it. I was like, she's just going to go back inside. But it was perfect. I was on my side. I thought, you know, the whole time I was pregnant, and like, I was like, I'm going to be on all fours, or I'm going to be standing, or, you know, I'd never expected to be like kind of on my back or on my side, which is how it happened. And like, just flat. Like it, she came out, it took her head like 20 minutes to come out. And the whole time, like I was just surrounded by like three or four midwives and, you know, my birth team. And they were all just like, it was just the perfect, like, it's going to make me emotional, but it was the perfect, like, calming, like, birth. Like, it was very quiet, and they were all just kind of whispering, like, your baby's coming, you're about to meet your baby. And, like, I couldn't see much, but I could just see a ring of people around me. And I felt like there were also, like, angels there, too, because they say the birth, the spiritual realm is really, the veil's thin. So you have, and I really felt that, like when she came out, like I felt this, like I could see like all this joy and light around me. And like, that I never knew what to like expect, but that was really beautiful. Her delivery was just, it was calm and spiritual. And like, I was so, like, I look back and I can feel everything, like thinking about it now. And it just makes me want to cry again because it was just perfect. So, and then she was on my chest.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. But it was.
That I was a little girl.
Yeah. We didn't know what the gender was. So when she came out, they're like, oh, he's this or something. And we're like, wait, is it a boy? She's like, no, it's a girl. And she was like, I couldn't believe how big she was. She's 8 pounds, 9 ounces. She was also a long baby. And so I held like really little newborns before. When she came out, I was like, oh, she looked so big to me. So, and she looked right up at me, and she didn't cry much. She was fine, but she didn't cry much at all. And she just looked at me, and we looked at each other, and I was just softly speaking to her. And she was, you know, they were all moving around me, you know, getting her pulse and getting all those things situated. But she, it was a very calm experience. She was very calm when she came out, which I liked that a lot. So she was born, and they asked me to start delivering my placenta, which at the time I was like, okay, that's cool. We can do that. I think it was like 20 minutes after the birth, though, that they had asked me to start pushing the placenta out. And I would have gone back and said, give me 20 more minutes. There's no rush for this, because it hurt when I delivered it, and I knew it shouldn't really hurt. Like, it can hurt, but like I also have heard a lot of people say that it just kind of comes out naturally. And but they were trying to get it, they were trying to get me to deliver it, and I did. And it was not super pleasant. And I started to hemorrhage slightly, just a little bit more bleeding than they would have liked to see. So they asked me if they could give me a shot of Pitocin to make the uterus contract more and the bleeding stop. And so I said, yeah. And we got the bleeding under control, but that also might've been, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but maybe if I had waited longer to deliver the placenta, I might not have hemorrhaged. But
well, it depends, I guess, how that was managed. It could be that they asked you to birth the placenta or to be a bit more active birthing the placenta because you were bleeding a little bit, right? So there's you know, one of the reasons why a woman would bleed would be that her uterus, her womb, is not contracting enough, right? And so one of the reasons could be that your placenta is just sitting there. So it might be that the placenta has detached and it's just sitting kind of in the opening of the cervix. And so it's kind of keeping the womb open. And as you know, when the womb is open, it can still bleed. And so that's why, you know, when you do birth placenta, then you can, you know, stop that bleeding or prevent hemorrhaging. So it could just be that your midwife could see that the placenta is now detached. You could see probably that the cord was loose, or, you know, different signs that, and they maybe you were bleeding a little bit. And she was like, oh, maybe it's better to, you know, to birth it. And again, you know, a great way to do that can be to just squat and use some gravity and not maybe stay on your back. And for some, you can just stay on your back and it's just sitting there. So you can just have a little bit of a pull and you a little bit of a push and it just falls out. But yeah, it does, you know, some women feel like it really hurts, like it's almost worse than the baby. And for some, it doesn't hurt at all. And so we're also very different there with how, you know, the sensation, how we perceive the sensation of birthing that placenta.
Mm-hmm. That makes me feel a little bit better because I just wasn't sure, you know, why it kind of stung so bad, but that makes me feel a little bit better knowing that it can hurt, it can sting, and it did.
I know. I had one mama, she was like, oh my God, I think she has had two or three babies. She's like, oh, the placenta is the worst. And then I've had, you know, women say like, oh, that was nothing, it just fell out, you know. So yeah, like everyone has such a different experience. At least it doesn't have bones, right?
Yeah. I can definitely say it was not like the baby, definitely not. It's its own thing. Because like pushing the baby out felt really good to me. So, and then they say the ring of fire felt more like stinging, like just kind of a stinging. Mm-hmm. And then I felt the same kind of stinging when I birthed the placenta. And, but thankfully, you know, the bleeding became maintained. And I didn't, you know, everything just kind of worked out. And I wanted to like get up afterwards and like go take a shower and, you know, kind of like get out of the bed. But I had to stay, they made me stay in the bed for a little while longer because I just lost a lot of blood. And, but I will say this about the birth center, and like I think I would have had a home birth if maybe I had had more like planning, you know, pregnancy planning. But I'll say this, it's messy. And so I, you know, if I were to have another baby in Atlanta, I'd probably go back to the birth center just because you have like, they're there to just take care of everything, you know, and just clean up while your families can see the baby and like take care of you. And as really, they were just really great about, you know, getting everything taken care of. And I felt really good there. So baby was perfect, healthy. She wasn't like, you know, crying a lot. And we laid in bed for a while, and they actually, at the birth center, you can leave after 4 hours, 4 to 6 hours, they let you leave. But since I was like, okay, it was like 4 hours afterwards, it's about 10 o'clock. She was born at 6 in the morning. I was like, okay, I was ready to go. And, but they were like, okay, since it's your first time, we want you to just stay. And also my blood pressure was like a little high, I think. So they wanted to watch that. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they were okay with me leaving, you know, after they monitored it a few more times. But I did get hospitalized a week later because I was at a lactation consultant and she took my blood pressure and it was high. And it was actually in the same building that the birth center is in. So she said, just go pop in there and see a midwife. And then they took it like 3 or 4 more times. They're like, yeah, you need to go to the hospital. Mm. You know, this is looking a little, you know, too high. So that sucked because the baby could in the hospital. So I was away from the baby for 24 plus hours.
No.
At that point I was breastfeeding was hard for me. She didn't latch very well. She wasn't getting a lot. She wasn't like ingesting a lot. I could tell. And she didn't want to latch on my left. They're very different sizes. My breasts. And so the left is just, was not easy for her at all. And so we struggled with breastfeeding. And so she was, it wasn't like she had to quickly transition to supplementing formula, you know, at home with my mom, but that was really tough to be away from her for sure. But thank God, you know, I we caught it, because it could have gotten worse and I wouldn't have known. And I couldn't tell the difference between, you know, a few days after birth, if I was just feeling like I felt different, but I wasn't sure if it was just like, you know, normal, like I'm really tired kind of feelings, or I'm anxious because I'm a new mom. But my body was definitely kind of feeling kind of jittery, and I didn't realize that it was because of preeclampsia. So,
yeah.
And my feet were still small. So.
Yeah. It's really important to know that this can also actually happen after the baby is born, because a lot of times we only talk about preeclampsia in pregnancy and how that potentially can affect that you'll have an early labor, potentially preterm, or that you get really high blood pressures and can be really dangerous. It's a medical condition that happens sometimes, but it can also actually happen. You can be totally fine in pregnancy, and it can happen just after you've had your baby, which is rare, but it does happen. So, I mean, yeah, it's important for everyone to know that that can happen. So it is important after birth, obviously, to make sure you feel good, and to always seek help if there's anything that doesn't feel good, and to trust yourself there. But it is tricky when you're a first-time mom. You don't know what's normal. Of course, you're going to be tired, and you know, you might be anxious, and that could be, you know, make you a bit jittery maybe because you're anxious because you're a first-time mom, and you know, so yeah, it's tricky to know.
Yeah, so I think, you know, thankfully it happened just the way it should have, or we caught it, you know, early. So, and I was pretty upset about that though, because it makes your chances of having preeclampsia and a later pregnancy higher. But hopefully that won't happen.
Yeah.
It's not always that that happens, so there's a good chance that it'll be okay. But yeah, it's really, I think, like I was talking about, how education is really important, of course, for laboring and birthing and pregnancy, but also, you know, to just kind of really monitor yourself afterwards like that. And maybe take your blood pressure up sometimes and see how it's going. But yeah, so.
For your midwives, you really do that. You know, usually midwives will come to your home and you have aftercare, and that's why we do that. And that's why we check your blood pressure and other stuff. So.
Yeah, we did. There was a home visit 24 hours afterwards. And then there's a 1 week postpartum visit. You go back to them and see. But at that point I was in the hospital. So, it was, you know, my pregnancy and delivery was just so amazing and smooth, that, you know, even that little hiccup was just a little hiccup, and got it under control. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
If you had a first-time mama in front of you right now, who's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would say to physically prepare yourself, and understand that your body knows what it's doing and it will do the job, but that you also need to be very active about it and work with your body. And part of that is physical preparation. And it's kind of a weird tidbit, but I would also say maybe like condition your legs a little bit, because my legs were really tired. And maybe if you did a little bit of leg conditioning, you know, every day, your legs would be in a little bit better shape. You're going to be actively laboring, you know, for a long period of time. So, and then also to prepare for your postpartum as much as you prepare for your pregnancy and delivery, because it's a big one. And, you never know, you're not going to know what it's going to feel like until you go through it, but to really, really take care of yourself after that baby is born, to sleep as often as you can, even though you might want to watch a movie or just kind of relax, but definitely force yourself to sleep and take really good care of yourself and prepare for your postpartum. Well,
how did you prepare for your postpartum?
I didn't do a lot of preparation, to be honest. My mom helped me with meals. And, you know, I had family there constantly helping me with meals, but I didn't. That's why I said, you know, it's really important. I, you know, educated myself on, you know, we all hear about postpartum depression. So I was, you know, I was aware that, you know, I need to monitor my feelings and really stay in tune with myself emotionally. But, and I had read a lot of books. So, you know, I knew some things about postpartum, but my mom was also taking really good care of me. So I had her, and that was really important, just to have your team behind you afterwards to help you with whatever you need. But I didn't do a lot of preparation. So
yeah. Exactly. That's, you know, it's usually wisdom comes from lived experience, isn't it? And this is a story I hear a lot, that women don't prepare for their postpartum. And it's definitely something that I recommend as well. Both like how to nurture and nourish yourself and heal after birth on all levels. And also maybe a little bit of, you know, breastfeeding to help that. And also about baby care and just simple things that just makes you feel so much more relaxed, just knowing some of the basics about how little babies, you know, what you can expect the first week and weeks after labor and birth, and what you can expect, you know, a baby, different sounds a baby makes, all these kinds of things can help just to make you feel a little bit more calm. Thank you so much, Emma, for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast. It's been a pleasure hearing your story.
Thank you so much for having me. I was very helped by your podcast. So I'm, you know, happy to help other women if I can with my story. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.